we all go about our daily lives as we must every day. But it's very useful to take a step back from time to time, I would even argue often, take a look around us and take stock of the profound changes in the world around us. Then think these through and take climate action. Right now, in March 2024, we're undergoing incredible change in our climate systems. Let me give you a few examples. February was the planet's hottest February on record ever since we started keeping records. And not only that, it's the 9th month in a row that global records tumbled. And do you remember how back in 2015 we signed an agreement called the Paris Climate Agreement, whereby everybody, all the governments of the world, allegedly promised that they're going to do what they must to keep warming to 1.5 degrees or 2 degrees above pre-industrial times? Well, guess what? They are not keeping their end of the bargain. Partly because they thought that type of warming is only going to show up 20, 30 years from now, and therefore they had time. And partly because they're not doing enough, and the climate system isn't something that we can predict and is something that will continue to surprise us with sudden moves. And here is one as an example. February was 1.77 degrees Celsius warmer than the average February in pre-industrial times. So there you are. We crossed the 1.5 degrees. And February also capped off the hottest 12 months consecutive period in recorded history. That 12 months was at 1.56 degrees above pre-industrial levels. And there's a lot more going on right now all around you. We are at peak CO2 levels. So we've never put this much CO2 in the atmosphere, ever. We're also at peak methane levels. Methane, you remember, and CO2 are all thanks to our friends in the oil, gas, and coal industry who not only can't seem to moderate what they do, but also are doing absolutely everything they can to stop the world from taking the requisite action. And I'm going to come back to that in a moment. We're also at maximum global nitrous oxide levels. We're at maximum global temperature records. We're at maximum global mean sea level. We're at minimum global O2 levels. And I don't think most people have a feel for how crazy, crazy February has been in climate. In the United States, 132 February all-time record highs were broken. Mexico, dozens of record highs. Japan, hundreds of monthly temperature records broken. Africa is going through and went through insane extreme heat events. There were also record heat events in Australia, in Indonesia, in Thailand, in Myanmar, in Canada, with Quebec crossing a new February heating record. And global sea surface temperatures were also in new all-time record high temperature at 21.11 degrees. And that is not a very good thing, because as the ocean warms, extreme weather intensifies. And on top of all that, we crossed 2 degrees, that's 2 degrees Celsius over pre-industrial times, on 4 consecutive days from the 8th to the 11th of February 2024. So as we go through our day, it is useful to just be perhaps acutely aware of how we are transforming this planet and what our legacy is going to be as far as our kids and grandkids are concerned. It is not a good look. And that's why, amongst all the possible topics I could talk about, today I want to talk about plastics. For those of you who have listened to a few episodes, or hopefully all of the episodes of The Angry Clean Energy Guy, you would have heard me rant about plastic regularly. But I want to come back to that topic today, because there were two somewhat under the radar papers that were published on plastic, and I think you should know about them. Welcome to episode 81 of The Angry Clean Energy Guy with me, Asad Razouk. I may sound perhaps angrier than usual, but I am super happy you're here. Thank you. Let's talk about plastic. A couple of weeks ago, an NGO called the Center for Climate Integrity released a 63-page report entitled The Fraud, of Plastic Recycling. The subtitle was How Big Oil and the Plastics Industry Deceived the Public for Decades and Caused the Plastic Waste Crisis. And I'd like to add, continue to deceive the public. That was an impressive publication. I'll put a link in the show notes in case you want to take a deep dive and read it. But it basically put together new and existing research to document how the plastic and petrochemical and oil industries convinced the public that plastic recycling was a thing. Here's a few nuggets from that report. Fact number one, the vast majority of plastic, 94% plus, cannot be recycled. Meaning, it cannot be collected, processed, and remanufactured into anything. And that 94% of plastic never has been recycled and never will be recycled. If you look at the United States, for example, the recycling rate for plastic is estimated to be only 5 to 6%. Fact number two, petrochemical companies created and perpetuated recycling as a false solution to plastic waste management on purpose, with their eyes open, for more than 50 years. That's 50 years. And why did they do that? They did that because there were no consequences to their lies. Plastic is 99% oil. It contributes an increasing percentage of the profits of oil and gas and petrochemical companies, and not only them. It's cheap because it uses the waste, in effect, of some of the oil and gas processes, and they have no liability for what happens to it after we buy it off of them. And so, if they don't pay for the pollution, if they don't pay for the waste, if they don't pay for the climate impact, and if they get paid personally for dumping all that plastic on the rest of us, then you can see how, absent any sense of morals, they're just going to dump more and more on us. And that's exactly what happened over the last 50 years. And here is some data to show you just how much has been dumped on us. Back in 1973, we each used 2 kilograms of plastic per year. Today, each human being on the planet uses 43 kilograms of plastic, most of which we don't need. And it's all because of that greed that I was referring to, and fueled by all these myths about the fact that we can recycle all this plastic. Fact number three, big oil and petrochemical companies ran, and they continue to run, a decades-long campaign of deception and disinformation on plastic recycling. And I'm just going to read a short paragraph from that report just to give you a sense of how bad this is. Quote, "The plastics industry, including petrochemical companies and the industry trade associations and front groups that represent them, uses a variety of strategies and tactics to persuade consumers that plastic recycling is viable, despite its knowledge to the contrary. First, trade associations have created and funded a web of front groups to act on the industry's behalf, while obscuring its role. As a parenthesis, this is from my pocket, that web goes all the way to your kid's school. Even in school, that web has managed to spread those lies about recycling. Okay, now back to the paragraph. Next, the plastics industry has promoted plastic recycling through public relations and advertising campaigns, heavily publicized but short-lived investments, unrealistic goals that have not been met, educational materials for school children that conflate plastic recycling and environmental stewardship. In more recent years, new campaigns have presented old and unproven technologies as advanced recycling and co-opted the language of a circular economy to convince the public that the industry is advancing solutions to the plastic waste crisis. As such, these campaigns deceive the public, policymakers, and regulators about the viability of plastic recycling as a means to sustain and expand plastic production." End quote. I mean, I don't know how these people aren't ashamed of themselves. This is an absolute scandal. And do you know what's going to happen? The plastics industry is going to be hit by a tsunami of lawsuits. Unfortunately, these lawsuits take time to get to results. But they have come, and many more are coming. And here are a few examples. The state of California is investigating petrochemical companies for causing the global plastics pollution crisis. You heard that right. They are investigating them for causing it, as they have. New York is suing PepsiCo for misleading consumers about recycling. You know all these plastic bottles that you genuinely thought it's okay to buy because they were going to be recycled? Well, guess what? They lied to you. Client Earth, an NGO of which I'm a trustee, together with 14 other NGOs, took action in Belgium to block a giant plastics plant which nobody needs. And they've been fighting for 4 years to stop that company called INEOS from building what would be Europe's biggest plastics facility in the port of Antwerp, and so on. That tsunami of lawsuits has started, and it's going to accelerate and broaden. And make no mistake, nobody needs that bloody plastic. Nobody. We didn't need it, and we don't need it. We need a tiny fraction of the plastic that we consume, and the plastic that we do need is mostly for medical equipment. And that's it. All the other plastic, and it's almost certain you're wearing some right now because fast fashion is fueled by that plastic industry and the lies of the petrochemical companies and the oil companies and the clothes manufacturers and their enablers. But it does mean that if you walk into almost any clothing store, the overwhelming majority of the stuff that they have in there is plastic. There are some exceptions, obviously, to this rule, but they are few and far between. The general public has mostly access to plastic-made clothes. And that's why that Center for Climate Integrity report is a must-read. But there's another paper that was released recently regarding plastic. And that one is looking at the consequences off that plastic wave that was just dumped on us. It's an academic paper in the New England Journal of Medicine, one of the most prestigious journals of medicine in the world. And it was published on 7 March 2024. And what it says, and I would advise you to sit down, is that the consequence of the health dangers of plastic having been obfuscated for 50 years are finally starting to emerge. And what they are in a nutshell is that microplastics, which are, if you didn't know, already in your blood and water and food and lungs and in the air that you breathe everywhere around the world, no exception. And all microplastics is large pieces of plastic, like a shirt or a bottle, that have broken apart because they were thrown away and then started decomposing. And so these microplastics could be life-threatening because the researchers found substantially raised risks of stroke and heart attacks. And I don't know if you're surprised or not, but I'm not. I mean, there is no way that we're eating and drinking oil and gas and then breathing it with no consequences. Now, there's a lot of money trying to stop research into these consequences, but the truth is starting to emerge. These things will kill you. According to the study in the New England Journal of Medicine, plastic pollution was linked to increased risks of stroke, heart disease, and premature death based on research results from individuals whose blood vessels were contaminated with microscopic plastics. And by the way, that's your blood vessels and mine and everybody else's. And of course, that paper was greeted by calls for further research. That reminds me when climate change impacts were greeted by calls of more research. Well, guess what? We don't need more research. What we need is a massive backlash by citizens, which results in immediate government action, especially in wealthier nations, to just simply make polluters pay for their pollution. That will increase the cost of plastic everywhere. And alternatives to plastics, which have basically been uncompetitively destroyed by the plastics industry, will emerge rapidly and will replace plastic decisively. Thanks so much for listening this far. I did want to bring these two papers to your attention because, to be honest, they just make my blood boil. I mean, how can these people get away with all this for so long with no consequences? Not only that, get paid handsomely for all this wanton destruction. Now, things are changing and things will change. And I'll give you one data point to prove it. In the United States alone, a quarter of Americans now live in cities and states that are taking big oil to court. And all of these lawsuits are about big oil lying to the public, big oil deceiving the public. And yes, we're going to have to wait for these lawsuits to emerge from the court system, but they have gone global and they will establish the truth and the facts. And then they're going to be enforced. And then all this crap is going to stop. Meanwhile, millions of people are taking important climate action around the world, and governments are also taking important climate action. This year alone, for example, Italy announced it's phasing out coal from 2025. Wind became the number one source of electricity in Germany. Nobody thought that could possibly happen. Australia LNG exports have gone down for the first time since 2015. The EU pushed a law to restore 20% of its land and sea. EVs in China are going to hit 40% market share this year, new EVs, that is. We've had breakthroughs in recycling batteries, and we've had massive cost reductions in the elements necessary to electrify everything and power the world with clean, renewable energy. And that includes solar PV panels and wind turbines and batteries and EV cars. Even French gas consumption is down 20%. Belgium made ecocide an international crime, so expect more lawsuits to start coming using that type of new legislation. California announced it's going to phase out fracking. India boosted rooftop solar, and that's all just this year, and I could go on and on. But that's just to show you that important action is being taken by citizens and companies and governments around the world. However, the act of undermining climate action is backed by literally hundreds of billions of dollars of profits that big oil made, which it should never have made, because once you factor in the cost of their pollution, they've been loss-making all along. And that needs to just be taken out of the equation through the court system, citizen action, and government rules and regulations. Thanks again for listening to this episode 81 of the Angry Clean Energy Guy with me, Asad Razouk. I would remind you that if you wanted good climate news, I have a Twitter thread which now runs over 4 years and which I publish each Sunday with the good climate news of the week. And then you can just keep clicking that to get a pretty exhaustive rundown of everything good that's happened in climate action around the world on a week-by-week basis for the last 4 years. There's also my episode 80 of the Angry Clean Energy Guy podcast, which was a summary of everything good that's happened last year, 2023. Finally, you could also pick up a copy of my book, Saving the Planet Without the Bullshit, What They Don't Tell You About the Climate Crisis, for a comprehensive run through the climate action that matters and the climate action that doesn't matter, which all of us can take in our daily lives. And on that note, have a great couple of weeks.